listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickard is off today. Last week, several news outlets reported that Governor Scott Walker, who's expected to run for president, said that forced ultrasounds are just a cool thing for women. But critics argue that in context, that's not really what the governor was saying. Here's a clip from his interview on The Dana Show.
We signed a law that requires an ultrasound, which, think about that. The media tried to make that sound like that was a crazy idea. I mean, most people I talk to, whether they're pro-life or not, I find people all the time who get out their iPhone and show me a picture of their grandkids' ultrasound and how excited they are. So that's a lovely thing. I think about my sons are 19 and 20. You know, we still have their first ultrasound picture. It's just a cool thing out there. We just knew if we signed that law, if we provided the information, that more people, if they saw that unborn child, would make a decision to protect and keep the life of that unborn child.
So a shocking statement for a political candidate, or a case of the media taking things out of context. Governor Walker has called out the media for gotcha moments. He's not the first candidate to make that case. Former presidents Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, for example, had both accused the media over the years of playing a game of gotcha. Mike Wagner is with us now to explore the line between gotcha moments as a political excuse or a real phenomenon. He's an assistant professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much.
So let's start with that example. We just played a clip of what do you think about how the media treated his quote there?
Well, I think they certainly took the governor out of context. He was not saying, I support this law because ultrasounds are a cool thing. Yeah, I think it's the governor's view that if people have an opportunity to look at an ultrasound, they might think differently about what to do with their pregnancy. And that seems to be what's behind his support of the law, and not, you know, how neat it might be to show an ultrasound to a friend, you know, to say, here's my daughter's ultrasound or something like that. What did happen, I don't know that he called it a gotcha moment, and people who work for him called it a gotcha moment, but it really wasn't the media engaged in gotcha as much as it was taking something out of context and kind of driving that narrative. And one of the narratives about Governor Walker is that he's a, you know, extreme social conservative. And so that quote out of context fit the narrative. And oftentimes the news media will run with something that fits the narrative, even if it's not in context.
So there's a few different issues just in that, in what you said there. Let's start with that narrative idea and run with that narrative. Are people in the media often, I guess, lazy? They want to fit things into the story. George W. Bush bumbling, Al Gore stiff, whatever the case may be.
That is something that tends to happen, especially in national politics. It's complicated to tell stories on the presidential campaign trail. A lot of the policy positions candidates have can be very nuanced, and journalists feel, rightly or wrongly, or at least people who sign journalist checks feel, rightly or wrongly, that the public doesn't necessarily want to listen to the policy minutiae, and so oftentimes the result, according to some people who study the media, are that the reporters look for these kinds of narratives. And so a really terrific book called The Press Effect by Kathleen Hall Jamieson and Paul Waldman makes the case that what happens is the media decide early on what you are like as a candidate, and then they look for stories that confirm what you are like. And so when George W. Bush mangles the English language, that fits in with what reporters think the then-governor and then eventually President Bush is like. And so it was a story when he would stumble, and Gore was seen as someone who was intelligent, so if he stumbled over the English language, that wasn't a story. Gore was seen more as someone who stretched the truth. When Gore said something that wasn't true, journalists hopped on that in the 2000 campaign. When Bush said something that wasn't true, it wasn't as much of a story because it didn't fit the narrative. And so part of this is when reporters decide this is who this person is, they look for evidence that confirms that, and then they report that evidence.
Now, keying in on this gotcha idea, one of the most famous examples is Sarah Palin being interviewed by Katie Couric. This is back in 2008. Let's take a listen.
And when it comes to establishing your worldview, I was curious, what newspapers and magazines did you regularly read before you were tapped for this to stay informed and to understand the
I've
world?
I've read most of them, again, with a great appreciation for the press, for the media.
But like what ones specifically? I'm curious that you...
All of them, any of them that have been in front of me over all these years. I have a vast variety of sources where we get our news to. Alaska isn't a foreign country where it's kind of suggested, it seems like, wow, how could you keep in touch with what the rest of Washington, D.C. may be thinking and doing when you live up there in Alaska? Believe me, Alaska is like a microcosm of America.
So Katie Couric pressing Palin on a question. She didn't quite answer. Is this a classic example of gotcha journalism, or was there something substantial here?
I think it was a classic example of a politician claiming gotcha journalism. So Katie Kirk asked, what kinds of things do you read to keep informed? And before you got asked to be a vice presidential candidate, you know, what did you read? And, you know, we might wonder whether Katie Kirk asked that same question of Joe Biden, you know, before he got asked to be vice president in 2008. But it's not a gotcha kind of question where she was necessarily looking to trap Governor Palin. She was just asking what she read. And if Governor Palin said, I read The Wall Street Journal or The New York Times, or I listen to, you know, Wisconsin Public Radio, I live stream it from Alaska. She could have said any of those things and it would have been, you know, an answer to the question. And I think, you know, she either blanked or thought that what would happen next was some kind of gotcha question, and so tried to deflect from it. And then, of course, you know, it ended up spinning out of control and becoming a much lengthier story and part of Saturday Night Live's parodies of Governor Palin and so on.
So what would be a classic example of a gotcha type of question that maybe is unfair on the media's part?
Well, you know, whether it's unfair, I think, is for others to judge. But, you know, a classic example happened, I think it was in 1999, when then Governor George W. Bush was running, and a reporter asked him if he could name the leaders in four different countries, kind of hotspots around the world. And Bush knew half of the leader of Taiwan's name and that the new leader of Pakistan was a general, but he couldn't name the other two countries that he was asked about. And so, you know, on the one hand, you might want the person who's running for president to know who these foreign leaders are. On the other hand, knowing trivia doesn't have much to do with being the president. And it's not like he wouldn't be able to learn that information very easily, you know, to make decisions. But it does also, you know, it might say something about his curiosity about international affairs, his knowledge about that kind of thing. And so, you know, some people thought that was unfair. Others thought, you know, this is an exact appropriate kind of thing, you know, to ask a candidate for president.
Talking to Mike Wagner with UW-Madison about politicians, the press, and so-called gotcha moments when candidates maybe get caught off guard by a question. Now, there's this back and forth in politics, presidential race or otherwise, where candidates and their people say what they want to say.
Right.
And people in the media try to get them to say anything but that.
Right.
And is that
right,
where these moments ultimately come from?
That often happens, especially in a situation where the reporter's in a one-on-one situation with the candidate. And so, you know, you can think of Sunday morning talk shows or you know, afternoon radio shows as examples of this, right? Where, you know, Tim Russert was well known for this when he used to host Meet the Press on NBC, where one time when a guy named David Duke, who had been a member of the KKK, was running for the governor of Louisiana and was kind of deflecting things and wasn't answering Russert's questions. And finally, Russert just said, do you know the three biggest manufacturers in your state? You're running for governor. You ought to know this. And Duke couldn't answer it. You know, do you know if I told you 25% of the people in Louisiana are living below the poverty line, you know, would you believe me? And Duke said something like, well, I guess I would believe you. But he didn't know. And so, you know, those are, you know, on the one hand, you know, things that might be difficult for the average person to know. But if you're running for office and saying, I want to lead this state, you might know who the manufacturers are or what percentage of the people are living below the poverty line. And that kind of came, and at least the lore of that interview and others like it, are that, you know, Russert asked Duke some questions. Duke deflected. And finally, you know, Russert went for the jugular.
Now, a few questions Governor Walker has encountered and other candidates, too. Questions from journalists like, do you believe that President Obama loves his country? Do you believe he's a Christian? In Britain, asked about his views on evolution, I think.
Right.
So all those things aren't necessarily germane to one's running of a country or a state.
Right.
But are these worthwhile questions in establishing something about the character and the thinking patterns of a candidate?
Yes. So the case for those questions are it shines a light on what candidates think about things that most people believe are incontrovertible facts, right? Most people believe that President Obama is a Christian. You know, most people believe in evolution. And so asking, do you think these things are true, are, you know, reasonable things to ask to understand how somebody thinks. On the other hand, as you point out, you know, in your question, you know, whether, you know, Governor Walker thinks President Obama is a Christian has very little, if anything, to do with, you know, how he would be president. And I, you know, on the one hand, it seemed like Governor Walker's pushback was not so much that he, you know, didn't necessarily want to answer the question as he rejected the usefulness of that kind of question to begin with.
And he argued that this isn't what people are talking about. This isn't what they're weighing when they're weighing presidential candidates. So irrelevant.
But a journalist might say, it's not your job to tell us what we should weigh, and it's not your job to tell the people what they care about. It's your job to say what it is you want to do and answer our questions. And so there's people have arguments on either side of that kind of thing. I think, it's probably the case that the reporter asked that question because the reporter knew that it would make news. And it was, kind of a way to be flashy and didn't really reveal very much about what a President Walker might do.
We're talking to politics and media expert Mike Wagner about media coverage of political candidates and whether the media has too much focus on so-called gotcha moments. And you can join in. Do you think the media plays this gotcha game maybe too much? What do you think is the media's responsibility when it comes to questioning candidates, especially for president? What do you wish the media did differently when it comes to covering these campaigns? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're picking up our discussion with UW-Madison Professor Mike Wagner about what some politicians call the media's gotcha game, trying to derail a politician with a surprising question, an irrelevant question, some politicians might say. And we want to hear from you, too. Do you see the media doing this in this presidential race, in the last few campaigns as well? Or do politicians reach for this as an excuse for avoiding a controversial topic, a hard question? What responsibility does the media have when it comes to questioning candidates or politicians, trying to get them off of their talking points? What do you want to see from the media when it comes to covering presidential campaigns? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Mike, so far we've been talking mainly about what we would call the mainstream media, or what a lot of people would, the New York Times, the major networks. How about partisan media on either side? These are often sides that want that gotcha moment. They see it as part of their mission to find those. Have they changed the playing field when it comes to this conversation?
Yeah, the kind of ideologically oriented or partisan media, kind of Fox News on the right or MSNBC on the left, tend to have interviews when they're interviewing people on the other side that are more combative, that are more uncivil, that are more, as a scholar and a UW-Madison PhD, Diana Mutz, is called in your face. And so that kind of thing seems to be happening with increasing regularity in the partisan media. And so some questions are gotcha-oriented. Others are the kinds of questions where the asker will frame things in a very stark, there is a right and there is a wrong, and you need to answer this, and the politician might not want to answer it in that way, and they kind of get badgered into either taking a position or continuing to deflect. And then, on these shows, the host is the host and can say, okay, you're not going to answer my question, we're done, cut their mic, or we're stopping the interview, or going to break. And that stuff happens more often on those kind of ideologically oriented networks than your mainstream news media interviews.
And even in a non-in-your-face interview, I guess a politician is always looking at what they say with the eye that, even if that interviewer isn't out to get something out of them, there's a lot of people watching for something that is a gaffe or can be massaged into something controversial.
Right. And it's the politician's audience is not the interviewer. The politician's audience are the voters out there and the people who, especially those who are undecided or persuadable. And the last thing a politician wants to do is make a mistake that's going to get replayed ad nauseum or to look foolish. And so if you don't know an answer to a question that maybe you should know the answer to, a nice strategy is to attack the news media. And that happens a lot with, oh, that's a gotcha kind of question, or I don't engage in hypotheticals, and answers like that are things politicians say when they don't want to answer the question that a reporter is asking. And oftentimes those questions are valuable things that voters ought to know.
Let's go to our callers now. We've got Morgan on the line in Lafarge. Morgan, hi.
Hi. I think it's pretty much expected at this point that most people just believe that a politician isn't going to give a straight answer, or their talking point is just going to kind of go off into what they want to talk about anyway. And I think the media holds a really powerful tool over them that doesn't get used, and that would be, a blackout. If a politician is just a habitual changing of topics or not giving straight answers, the worst thing that could happen to them is people just stop listening to them, either intentionally or through the media's use of blacking someone out.
Morgan, interesting point. What do you think about that, Mike?
It is something the news media could do. That, reporters or media organizations could say, we keep asking you these questions and you continue not to tell us. And so, you know, there could be a variety of strategies that they could employ, right? An outright blackout, as the caller suggests, we're just not going to talk to you anymore. Or, you know, it could be more along the lines of, well, I guess every time we're with you, we're just going to keep asking you that question until you answer it. You know, there could be a variety of strategies the news media could take that if enough news sources did it enough times, that might change the behavior of some politicians. But right now, politicians also have the ability to dangle, well, maybe I just won't return your calls when you need me for a story. Mm-hmm. And that's a powerful thing that journalists have to contend with when they decide how much do they really want to go after that question. They've asked it three times. They've been deflected three times. Is it really worth risking, you know, the relationship with that source in perpetuity?
Well, and politicians of both parties, I think it's fair to say, have been exploring more and more alternatives to the media, either friendly partisan news services or direct outreach in one form or another online.
Right, just to putting up videos on YouTube, emailing their supporters directly, texting their supporters directly, anything that bypasses the national news media.
Are the big sources less important than they used to be? Used to be, if you weren't in these few papers, these three networks, you weren't out there.
They're still important, and most people who are serious candidates for major offices still know that they have to be in them. But they also now know that those aren't the only games in town. And, you know, more people watch local news and listen to local news than engage in national coverage. And so, you know, politicians might say, well, rather than talk to the National Press Corps, I'll do an interview with one local television station or one local radio station. And so they're still getting their message out, but they're doing it in a different way. And after there's been enough complaining or enough haranguing, they'll do their sit down with the New York Times or with one of the major television networks and things like that.
Talking to Mike Wagner about politicians, press, and the famous gotcha moment. Back to our callers now with Nick in Greenfield. Nick, hi.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. My comment is not so much about the gotcha questions, but I feel like in listening to NPR and WPR every day, that a lot of the reporters act like the world started last week Monday, and they don't do their homework and find out that there was a lot more to ask some of these politicians. For example, here in Wisconsin, the legislature has been, over the last couple of years, slowly and very surreptitiously moving control of different organizations in the government from the people to the governor or the Congress. So they're kind of slipping that away from the people, and the people don't know it. They're like the frog that was boiled real slowly, and he never knew he was boiled until it was too late.
Nick, thanks for the call. Getting to his original point there, interviewers don't bring enough context, he says, don't bring enough homework and background, deep interviewing, I guess. They focus on the superficial and the today.
I think that's a common complaint of the news media, as the caller said, you know, there's often a lack of context in questions. Or a lack of history, and the reporter's response typically is, well, we don't report the olds, we report the news, and we need to talk about what's new and what happened today. And it might be nice to get some of that context in there, but a radio story or a television story has a definite length, and it has to be done by then. Newspaper stories are relegated to column inches, and so there's a balancing act that reporters have to choose to play between context and the things that are happening that are new, plus the potential consequences of whatever it, you know, is that's happening today. And all of those things, I think, happen at once. And then when you think about the interview shows more broadly, you know, sometimes one thing that frustrates me as a person who watches those shows is that sometimes I think the interviewers are more worried about the next graphic they're going to show and moving on to the next question, where they don't listen to the response and miss their chance to ask follow-up questions, which gives the politician the chance to control the conversation in a way that they probably shouldn't.
So, Mike, a gotcha moment is entertaining. It's
sure.
Dramatic.
Yes.
Is there an appetite for public for that kind of deeper interview, that ultimately longer form interview? Do people want that?
People seem to like the gotcha more than they like the deeper long form interview, which isn't to say people don't like the deeper long form interview. There is an audience for that. It's just a smaller audience. But the research that's been done on kind of the titillating interviews versus the policy oriented interview show that people are just more interested when the fireworks are flying.
And are we going to see a lot of these back and forths between politicians and the press over gotcha moments in campaign 2016?
We sure will.
All right, Mike, as always, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure.
That was Mike Wagner. He's an assistant professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison, with us to talk about what many politicians call the media's gotcha game as the presidential race heats up. You can keep sharing your thoughts over at the Central Time Facebook page.